Today's daf is daf yud. We're going to start at the Mishnah. Ein pochatim esrim ba'achat kiyot b'mikdash. We're continuing in the list of ranges of numbers. So we now say in the mikdash they used to blow the shofar, and now we're going to learn that you can't have less than 21, and you can't have more than 48. Okay. Okay. So this is how it works: the 21 and the 48. Okay. They would do three. So this, again, on the simplest day, you have 21. Why? Three, when they would open the Sha'arei Azara, okay, they would do Tki'at, Shu'at, Tki'at. Then they would do nine with the Korban Tamid in the morning, and nine with the Korban Tamid in the afternoon. So nine, nine, and three, 21. The maximum day you could have, you could end up with 48. Okay, why is that? Because then they also did Tki'ot when they brought the Korban Musaf. You would do nine tkiot on the korban. Okay, so we started with 21. So now add nine for musaf. And then, right, so that gets us up to 30. Then on Erev Shabbat, they would do six tkiot, three as a siman to stop doing melacha, and three as when Shabbat was actually coming in. So that's another six. That gets us up to 36. And then, right, what was the other? 36, right. And then on Chag Sukkot, there were additional nine tkiot when they would do the Meshiloach, and three tkiot when they would put the Aravot on the Mizbeach. So you ended up with an additional 12, and that gets us up to 48. So when you have Sukkot, which has Musaf, and it has the regular Korban no Tamid. It has the three when you open the Sha'arei Beit HaMikdash. It has the extra 12 for Sukkot, and it has Musaf. It has all of those. And if it comes out on Erev Shabbat, right, which one day of Sukkot will come out on Erev Shabbat, Min Hastam. So when that happens, you're going to have everything. Okay, there's always this. There was this article about it, Mrs. Cooperman Shabbos. It's called there's women, these from like a different generation that weren't so familiar with the sitter, and they would say everything from start to finish. So we always have this joke that there's, you know, the day Mrs. Cooperman Shabbos when it's Shabbat of Hanukkah that comes out on Rosh Chodesh, you know, and she just reads through everything in the Siddur, and, you know, she said everything. So that's the 48 here. It's, you get everything. Oh, yeah?
Diamond and lane.
Yep.
It was long.
Yes. Ein pochatim mishnei nevalim velo mosifim al shisha. Okay, we don't have less than two and not more than six. Okay, the Rashi says here, first of all, what's a nevel? Some people say it's a harp. Some people say it's actually a string instrument. Some people say it's a blow instrument. Right, string would be the harp. And some people say it's a what?
Wind.
A wind, thanks. That was
like
the word I was looking
pipe.
For. What?
Like
yeah, like a bagpipe, some people say. Okay? They would either. Now we're going to talk about, that was about how many tkiot. That was kind of the action. Now we're going to talk about how many musical instruments of what type did they have. So there were either two, but not more than six. Rashi explains here, lo et paresh tama. We don't know the reason why it went up to six. Because the Leviim would sing, and there would be accompanying music in the Beit HaMikdash while the Leviim would be singing. Ein pochatim mishnei chalilim v'lo mosifim al shnei masar. Okay, you don't ever have less than two, and you don't have more than 12. Now they're going to connect the 12. The reason you would have 12... Rashi says here, ma yuotzim yud bet. Okay, this here, it sounds interesting. If they wanted to, not that they had to, but potentially you could have 12. Why the number 12? What's the magic number 12? Well, it has to do with the next line. It's kineged yud bet yamim shachalil makelef ne'mizbeach. There were 12 specific days where they would take the chalil before the mizbeach, and here are the 12 days. Okay? U'b'shnema saryom b'shana chalil makelef ne'mizbeach. First of all, before we even go on, there's a few strange things about this. What does it mean, makeh? You don't hit a chalil. A chalil, right, you could hit a drum, but you don't hit a chalil. A chalil is a flute. So first of all, some people explain a chalil is a type of drum. That's one way to understand it. The chalil isn't the way we use chalil. But another way of saying it, Rashi says, it's that hayunek kavim b'chalil u'makeh be'etzba'o ala nekev la'anim et hakol. Right, what do you do with a chalil? Use your fingers and to block off the holes. So that's sort of haka'ah, it's a sort of hitting, even though it's not really. That's his explanation. What do we have here? Here we have another issue, which is, it says on these 12 days, they would maket lifnei mizbech. So now, what would they do on the other days? So two options. Either they wouldn't have a chalil at all on the other days, or they would have a chalil, but they wouldn't use it before the mizbech. Okay? In other words, is it that on all the other days they have a chalil, they just don't use it in front of the mizbech, and then these days were unique because they would have to bring the chalil before the mizbech. Otherwise, where would they be? Well, they'd be standing next to the Leviim. It would make sense, right? Whenever somebody sings, usually the orchestra is next to the person singing. So generally, the Leviim were singing. It would be near there, or maybe there was no chalil at all. What's 12 days are these? And then we're going to see later what's unique about the following 12 days. Pesach Rishon. Mishchitat Pesach Rishon. Okay, these are the days. So number one, when they shechted the Korban Pesach, that's not on Pesach, it's the day before, right? It's what we call in the Torah Chag HaPesach, which is the 14th of Nisan. U'b'shchita Pesach Sheni, when they would bring the one that people who missed Pesach Rishon brought on Pesach Sheni, on the 14th of Iyar. V'yom Tov Rishon Shal Pesach, and the first day of Pesach, the 15th of Nisan. U'b'yom Tov Shal Atzeret, Shavuot. U'b'shmona Yimei Chag, and on 8 days of Sukkot, right? Notice the difference. Pesach only the first day, Sukkot all 8 days. We'll have to discuss why. And those are the days. Okay, that gets us to 12. So again, 12 days, there would be Makel Lefnei HaMizbeach, which we're not sure exactly what that means on the other day, about the other days. But Keneged that, they would have 12 Chalilim. Now, it's unclear. Maybe they would do the 12 Chalilim only in a, let's say you say that they would be Makel Lefnei HaMizbeach, that they would use the Chalil on other days. Maybe only on those specific days would they take 12. It's kind of a way of remembering that there's 12 days that you do the following. It's not so clear. V'lo haya makeh ba'abuv shel nechoshet. They wouldn't use a copper chalil. Okay, abuv is a chalil. We'll get to that later in the Gemara. Why they started using the lashon of chalil and then switched to abuv. Ela ba'abuv shel kaneh. They would use one made of a reed. Mipnei shekol ha'arev, because the sound is better. Okay, we're going to get to a whole thing at the end of today's daf about having a better sound. V'lo haya mechalek ela ba'abuv yichidi. When they would finish the song, they would make sure to end. Okay, mechalek is to end. That's the mashmaut they say. With one flute playing and not all of them. Mipnei shu machlik yafeh, because it's a nicer way to end the song with one chalil ending it. Now the question is, who played these musical instruments? So one opinion is Avdei Kohanim Ayu, Divrei Rabbi Meir. He says they were the Ovdim of the Kohanim. Okay, the slaves of the Kohanim were the ones who did this. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mishpachat Beit Pekarim Ubeit Zipariah Me'amaus, Hayu Mesi'in Lekuna. It was the Mishpachot of Beit Pekarim Ubeit Zipari who came from Amaus, which they say is in your modern day Latrun. And these were Yisraelim, but they were families, we'll talk about this more tomorrow, that were allowed to marry Kohanim. Okay, Kohanim had to marry only Miyuchasim. They couldn't marry anyone who came from a family of Avadim. So these were families that were Miyuchasim, and you can marry them off to Kohanim. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigino somewhere, Levim Hayu. Okay, so three different possibilities. Were they servants of the Kohanim, slaves of the Kohanim? Were they from these two specific families? By the way, saying from these two specific families connects a little with, if you remember, it was a long, long time ago, but in Yoma and in Shkalim, we saw all these Mishnayot that talked about these specific families were in charge of various things. They would always make the Ketoret, and other ones, you know, there were certain secrets, if you remember, they tried to buy the secrets off of, right, there was this whole thing they tried to, right, they tried to get the recipe from somewhere else, actually from Alexandria. They tried to bring in experts and they couldn't do it, and, you know, and there were all these interesting stories. Later today, we're going to get back to Alexandria also.
Which means they're always talking about Bayit Sheni.
Yes, right. It's very specific. If you say these specific families, I mean, after that, like, first of all, it's clearly not relating to Bayit Rishon, and it's relating even to a certain time period in Bayit Sheni, which makes sense that the Mishnah would be talking about what goes on in their time period. But you'd think the Mishnah would be writing a book that would last for generations, and, you know,
they might have thought.
Right, they might have thought that it would go back, once they rebuilt the Mikdash, to these families. And maybe that's also another proof that we talked about this a little while ago, I think it was at the end of the last Masechet, when we said that, you know, their perspective was that things were going to be rebuilt soon. I can't remember in what context we talked about this, but that there was this concept that, you know, they were living in a different time than we were, where, you know, they kind of saw it about to happen. Okay. Or was it Levi? Matnita, right? The most logical would be to say Levim. They sang, they played musical instruments, but it seems like it wasn't so clear-cut. Matnita de lo k'Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, going back to these tkiot, 21 verses 40, right? From 21 to 48, this obviously doesn't match Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. D'tanya, the Braita says, Rabbi Yehuda omer, ha-pochet lo yipchot mi-sheva, ha-mosif lo yosif al-shesh, sorry, 7 to 16 as opposed to 21 to 48. Now notice, take 21 and 48, you divide them by 3, you get 7 and 16. V'mai kamiflegei, what's the root of their machloket? Rabbi Yehuda savar tkia trua utkia chadehi. He says, oh, it's divided by 3 because each tkia trua tkia he views as 1, and therefore he says 7. Okay, there's actually no practical difference, really. They still blew tkia trua tkia, according to him, but he counts them all as 1. Rabbanan savre tkia lechud utrua lechud utkia lechud, right? Each one is called a separate sound. My time into Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda? Utkatem trua. Okay, now we're going to look at the Pesukim in Bamidbar where it talks about the chatzotzrot. Tells you all sorts of things. When should you do? What? So, I'll read you the three Pesukim we're going to darshan in Hey, and we're going to read Hey, Vav, and Zayin. Utkatem trua v'nasua machonor chonim kedma. Right, that was the sign. If you katem trua, then all the ones machonim kedma start to move. Utkatem trua shenit v'nasua machonor hachonim temana. Trua yitku'u l'masehem. And then it says, okay, we'll only get to this in a minute or two. Uvakila takal titku'u v'lo tariu. So now, which part are we darshaning right now? Rabbi Yehuda says, it says utkatem trua. You should blow, right, a tki, right, utkatem is the verb, a trua. And then it says, trua yitku. And then it says again, but this time the order's flipped. Instead of utkatem trua, it says, trua yitku. So what does he say? Shema mina, tkia trua utkia chadehi. He says, the fact that they reverse the order shows you that it's all really one and the same. Rabbanan, what is Rabbanan darshan? Hahu, or how do they darshan those psukim that Rabbi Yehuda darshans? What do they do with his drasha? Hahu lipshuta lafaneu, pshuta lachareu da'ata. They simply say, what do you mean? The order proves that trua is supposed to be surrounded with a tkia before and a tkia after, and that's why the psukim kind of say, utkatem trua, trua titku, yitku, right? So that you have it with the truot here surrounded by tkiot, teaches us how we're supposed to blow it. Rabbanan, my time, but what's their reason why they think it's not viewed as one sound? So, look at the last pasuk I quoted. Dichtivu ba'akila takaha, when you gather the people together, right, you're having a big meeting, what do? Titku'u v'lo tariyu. You just do a tkia, not a trua. So that shows that tkia is a sound in and of itself. V'yisakadatach, and if you're going to say tkia trua u'tkia chadehi, you want to say it's all one. Amarachmana, the Torah is going to say, Avi palga de mitzvah, only do half a mitzvah. It's actually a third of a mitzvah, right? It doesn't make any sense. So what does Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? That's a pretty good claim. Rabbi Yehuda, simana ba'almahu. That one of all the others is different. It stands aside. That's actually not a mitzvah. Okay, it's not a mitzvah to do the tkiah when you're gathering the people. That's just a way to get everyone together, to call them to attention, blow the chatzotzra. All the rest are actually mitzvot. You're supposed to do the chatzotrot at this particular time. That one's not a mitzvah, and that's why that one stands alone. Okay, so that's the machlokah between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim. Keman az lahad amar Rav Kahana. So now they're going to say, according to is the following statement of Rav Kahana said, Ein bein tkiah l'trua v'lo klum. Okay, which seems to mean there's no pause between the tkiot and trua. You can't pause, you have to do the whole thing beretzef, right, in one sound, basically. So what do you mean? Keman ki Rabbi Yehuda, right? Isn't that it must be like Rabbi Yehuda views it all as one sound, so therefore you can't take a break in between. So the Gemara says, Pshita, obviously that's Rabbi Yehuda. And then why would you even have to tell us it's Rabbi Yehuda? It's quite obvious. So they say, no, not necessarily. Ma'u detema fila karabana natya ulafuki midi Rabbi Yochanan. Maybe it actually, Rav Kahana's statement was made according to the Shita of Chachamim, that it is Truat Kiyah and Tkiyah are three separate sounds, but he's coming to say that he disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan. Why? What does Rabbi Yochanan say? Da'amar, Shama Tesha Tkiyot B'Tesha Sha'ot B'Yom Yatsa. He says if you hear 9 kolot, now we're talking about Rosh Hashanah, you have a chiyuv of 9 kolot, that's your minimum. Okay, 9, which then we turn into, right? We now do not only Tkiyah Trua Tkiyah, right? We do Tkiyah Shvarim, right? We do Shvarim, and we do okay all those. But theoretically, you're supposed to listen to 3 sounds of Tkiyah Trua Tkiyah, okay, which comes out to 9. The whole issue is, what exactly is a trua? Is it shvarim? Is it shvarim trua? Is it just trua? So we do all the other options. If you heard teshes kiot within 9 hours, you're yotzei, which means you don't have to hear them all beretzef, right? You could hear tkia, then you could hear trua. So really, you could still hold like in a Rav Kahana could be saying, you can't take a break. Just because you can't take a break between tkiot doesn't necessarily mean that you that they're all called one sound, right? It's not the same thing. So therefore, kamatan. That's why it's not pashut, the Rav Kahana holds like Rabbi Yehuda. But that's why they have to tell you he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, because theoretically you could explain it according to Chachamim. So now the Gemara says, well, if you could theoretically explain it according to Chachamim, then why don't we explain it according to Chachamim? First of all, Chachamim is the Rabbim. We'd always rather assume that somebody goes by the Rabbim. So ve'em achinami. Why don't we say, in fact, he does hold like Chachamim. It's 3 separate kolot, but you can't have a break in between them. That's possible. So the Gemara says no, because im kein, my velo klum. They think that the lashon, that he used, the wording, im ben tkiya l'shua, velo klum, instead of saying you can't take a break, says, right, you can have nothing in between. Nothing in between seems to indicate much more strongly that these are all one sound. And that's what the Gemara concludes. Okay, now we're going to get to the 12 days, and from here we get to a very famous sugya about, if you haven't figured out the connection yet of these 12 days, what do they connect to? They connect to, right, the biggest clue is the first day of Pesach, I suppose, right, and the 8 days of Chag. When do we have, where do we see a difference? In Hallel, right? On Pesach, the first day of Pesach, we say a full Hallel. All the rest of the days of Pesach, we say what we call Chatzi Hallel, even though it's not exactly half, right? We take out Lolanu and Ahavti Hashem. So, now we're going to say, what's unique about the, why 12? Why those 12 days? Because those are the 12 days, Shagomrim Bahamat Halel. Except there's not exactly 12 days, Shagomrim Bahamat Halel. There'll be a little issue here. And from here, we're going to get into a very famous sugya about why do we specifically say Halel on those days? Why not on other days? Why yes on certain? Okay, we're going to write, why are some in the list when you might not have thought they'd be in the list? We'll see. So here we go. Maishnahane, so what's unique about these 12 days? Ho'il v'yachi gomer b'hanet halel, because those are days that, and this is the lashon of the Gemara, when they talk about a full halel, they say gomer b'hanet halel, they finish the halel, that means you say an entire halel. Ta'am Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak, shmona asar yamim shayachi gomer b'hanet halel. Oh, immediate light bulb lights up, right? Question, what do you mean 18? Didn't we just say 12? Okay, would have been much nicer had it said these are the 12 days. So first let's go through what the 18 days are, and it'll be obvious for you which one's not. Shmona yimei chag, 8 days of Sukkot. Shmona yimei Chanukah, 8 days of Hanukkah. Hanukkah, that's the one missing. Why the 8 days of Hanukkah missing? Because there was no korban in the Beit HaMikdash. Okay? They did have Hanukkah, but there was no korban that they brought. Okay? So there was no tekes in the Beit HaMikdash for Hanukkah. The Yom Tov HaRishon Shal Pesach, first day of Pesach, U Yom Tov Shal Atzeret, Shavuot, U Bagola in Chutz La'aretz, right, because of Shnei Yamim Tovim Shal Galiot, extra day of Chag, Esrim Ve'echad, they had 21, because you add Tisha Yimei Chag, one extra for Sukkot, Shmona Yimei Chanukah, that's the same, Shnei Yamim Tovim Shal Pesach, one extra, U Shnei Yamim Tovim Shal Atzeret, and the 2 days of Shavuot. So you end up with the extra 3, one for each regel. Okay. Now we start getting into all our questions. The first obvious one is the one we said, Ma'ishna b'chag d'amrinan kol yomo, Ma'ishna b'pesach d'lo amrinan kol yoma. Why is Sukkot every day and Pesach not? D'chag chalukim b'korbonotehem. D'pesach ein chalukim b'korbonotehem. Every day of Chag there's a new korban, because we start with 13 parim and we go down every day in the number of parim that we bring. And, right, and we get to 70 altogether, right? There's all these references. Oh, the Keneged Shavim Umot HaOlam, because Sukkot is the universal Chag. All sorts of things to say about that. But the main thing for our purposes is every day it's a different Korban. Because it's a different Korban, that necessitates a reciting of Hallel. To Pesach, the Pesach we use the same Korban every day. Okay? So that's the answer the Gemara gives here. In Masechet Sofrim, they give a different answer.
Why,
and
why is that even an answer? So what if it's the same?
So, right. So, what's the connection? So, they seem to say if it's the same, then there's no, like, there's no new, like, to say hallel, you need something new. You need some chidush. You need sort of like a change. Saying today is better than the day before. It's different from the day before. If it's the same, then it's just kind of stagnant.
But when you do it like on 2 days of Yom Tov, the first and second.
Yeah, well, that's just because one is a repeat of the other. In other words, you don't have a choice there.
Right.
But theoretically, you're right. You could say, you know, maybe it's not. But generally, we view the second day as just an exact repeat of whatever we did in the first.
So that was just praise. I mean, right. I didn't know it had anything to do with something new.
Right. Well, first of all, there's like a whole thing about not doing halal too much. Like, for example, there's a sugya about the only source for Psukei Dezimra in the Gemara is this guy who says he would say Hallel every day. And then they say, what do you mean you can say Hallel every day? Don't they say that whoever says Hallel every day is Mecharef u'Megadef? It's like using God's name in vain. It's, right? It's almost, you think about it, it's those people who thank you all the time, you kind of, right? It means nothing. After a while, it's meaningless, right? If somebody always gives you praise, you know, there's people who never compliment you. People who compliment you all the time, it just turns into nothing. So that's the concept. Don't overdo it, right? So here they're saying also, so there they say, oh, the answer there they give is, oh, he didn't say Hallel, it was Psukei Dezimra. And there you see there's this connection between like Psukei Dezimra is like a mini type of Hallel that we say every day, okay? But an obvious connection is they're all psukim from Tehillim. So that's the idea, that there's something new that gives you like a reason to say Hallel. But the different reason given is that on the seventh day of Pesach, we don't want to say Hallel, because Maaseh Yadai Tovim Bayam V'atem Omrim Hallel, you probably heard that, right? That how could the Mitzrim be drowning in Yam Suf and Bnei Israel are praising God? It seems inappropriate. And therefore, since you don't do it on the seventh day, well, you're not going to do Chol HaMoed, have something more than the seventh day, so therefore you don't do it all the intermediary days. Okay. It's interesting, the Gemara doesn't bring that answer here, right? It only brings one. Now here the Gemara is going to say, okay, wait. If you're going to say that having a new korban different from the day before causes a chiyuv of halal, well then Shabbat dechalukah b'ne korbanotea lema lema. Why don't we then say on Shabbat, Hare Shabbat, we have new korbanot that weren't on the previous day, so maybe Shabbat we should do this, we should say halal. So what do they answer? Lo ikre moed. It's not called a moed. We're supposed to do halal on a moed. Okay. Again, this has to do, I think, with the uniqueness. Halal is something that should be special. It shouldn't be something that comes on a weekly basis. It should be something that's on a chag. What does it mean it's not a moed? That it's not, this goes back to apropos yesterday's stuff, it doesn't have to do with Kiddush HaChodesh, with the rabbis determining it just happens every 7 days. Rosh Chodesh to Ikri Moed. Okay, well then if that's the issue, so how about Rosh Chodesh? Lema. Why don't we say Halal on Rosh Chodesh? Now we do say Halal, but we say it, we're not Gomrim Bahem at Halal. That's why we say what we call Chatzi Halal. Okay, so why don't we do it there? However, that's a Moed, because it's a time bound, right? It has to do with the rabbis determining when it happens. So they say Lo Ikdish Vasiyat Melacha. It doesn't have Isra Melacha. Okay, it's interesting because people do have, there is some sort of issue of Isra Malacha, but it's obviously not the same as Chag, Dichtiv. What's the connection of Asiyah Malacha to Halel? So they bring a pasuk from Yishayahu that connects it. Hashir Yihye Lachem Kilel Hitkadesh Chag, which means Laila HaMekudash Lachag Ta'un Shira. They learn from here, since the Shir is going to be like you, like a Laila Hitkadesh Chag. So a Laila that is Mekadesh Chag, when you have a night that has a kedusha of chag, that has shira. Okay? Laila mekudash l'chag te'un shira, v'she'ein mekudash l'chag ein te'un shira, and Rosh Chodesh, right? And Rosh Chodesh doesn't have...
How about
Chanukah? Well, why do you do it on Chanukah? So we're going to get to that. So then they're going to ask exactly that question. What? First of all, there is Yisro Melacha on Chol HaMoed, although one can maybe connect that a little bit more to Rosh Chodesh, but it's not. It's a different Isra Malacha than a Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is a minhag not to do Malacha. But Chag, actually, you're really not supposed to do Malacha, but they matured it. It's more like that. So now they say, okay, so therefore, that's why only a Leil HaBikudash Chag has Shira. It's interesting because we don't say Halal at night except for on Pesach, and nowadays on Yom HaTzma'ut, that kind of had the model of Pesach, modeled after Pesach. Okay. Now we get to, okay, so if that's our criteria, Isur Malacha, Moed, well, what's missing here? By the way, I just want to stop so I don't forget to say this, but I didn't point this out, but if you notice, they were playing musical instruments in the Beit HaMikdash on Chagim. Okay? So how do we do that? Well, first of all, it's only usher to play Kli Negina Midrabanan, because you might come to tune your Kli, fix it. Okay? That's what, the reason why you can't play musical instruments. And Ein Shvut B'Mikdash, there's no Drabanan in the Mikdash. So when it comes to the Mikdash, because of the importance of the Mikdash, so we override Yisurei Drabanan. So therefore, you're allowed to do it. Okay, going back now, Rosh Hashanah v'Yom HaKippurim, this is also a very famous source, De'ikrei Moed v'Ikdush Basiyat Melacha, these are Moed, and there's Isra Melacha. Why don't we say Halal on these days, right? And the answer is not because davening would be too long, right? We have enough things already. Lema Mishum Jir, right, first of all, in those days, davening wasn't so long. Lema Mishum Jir Rabbi Abau, why don't we say it's like what Rabbi Abau says? Amar Rabbi Abau, he said the following. Amru malachei asharet lepnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, this is one of those, right? The angels came before God and said, Ribono shel olam, mipnei ma ein Yisrael omrim shira lefanecha b'rosh hashanah b'yom ha-kippurim. Why don't they say shira? It's like, what's with these Jews, right? Wouldn't you think it would be appropriate? Amar lahen, God answers them, Efshar melech yoshev ha-kisei adin, v'sifrei chayim v'sifrei meitim p'tuchim lefanav, v'Yisrael omrim shira lefanai. Again, it's not appropriate. How, right? You're going up for judgment. It's not the right mood, right? To start singing, just like Maaseh Yadai Tovim Bayam, Batem Arim Shira, same thing. It's not appropriate for a different reason. This is not the mood, okay? Not appropriate. Obviously, there wasn't this conversation when he got in the angels, right? It's sort of a way of kind of teaching it. Okay, here comes your question, Aviva. V'ha Chanukah, d'lo ha'achi v'lo ha'achi v'ka'amar. Okay, well, Chanukah doesn't have this, doesn't have that, not Yisro Melacha, not Moed, right? Doesn't have any of these things. Why do you say it? Mishum Nisa, it's because of the big miracle. Okay, there's now a new thing that causes it. Okay, if it's miracle, right, we always connect Pirsum and Nisa to Purim and Chanukah. Why not Purim? Purim di'ika Nisa, lema. So then Purim, you should say it. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, lepi she'en omrim shira al nesha b'chutz la'aretz. We don't say halal on miracles in chutz la'aretz. Right? Purim happened in chutz la'aretz. Matkif la'Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, that's the first answer. We're going to have a few answers here. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak questions. Bar Yitzchak Mitzrayim, din nesha b'chutz la'aretz. So what about Siyam Mitzrayim? That was chutz la'aretz, v'amrin on halal. So the answer, kiditanya, like it says in the following braita. Ad shelo nechnesu la'aretz, huchshiru kol aretzot lomar shira. Before the Knesa to Eretz Yisrael, so any miracle that happened to the Jewish people was worthy of saying halal for. But mishenechnesu la'aretz, once they came into the land and we got, you know, Kedushat Eretz Yisrael, right, we always talk about that in the first, right, they were nitkadesh, the Kedushat, there was a whole question, right, did it last or did it kind of disappear at that point and then come back? But anyway, mishenechnesu la'aretz lo huchshiru kol aretzot lomar shira. Once they came into the land, then anything that happens in Chutz La'aretz is no longer significant enough to cause Shira. That's answer number one. Rav Nachman Amar, answer number two, Kriyata Zoi Halela. Reading the Megillah is the Halel. In other words, there is Halel, it just comes in a different form. Okay? Then we're going to have to come back to later, well, what does he do with that Braita? Okay, the Braita that said there is no Halel, right? He actually says there is Halel, it's just in a different form. Rava Amar, third answer, Bishlama Hatam, I understand by Yitzhiya Mitzrayim. If you're going to compare to Yitzhiya Mitzrayim, the Ge'ulah in Mitzrayim was way more significant than the Ge'ulah of Purim. Why? Hatam halalu avdei Hashem v'lo avdei Paro. When it came to Yitzhiya Mitzrayim, we went from avdut, slavery of Paro, to become avdei Hashem. We became autonomous at that point, right? We were basically under God only. Hacha halalu avdei Hashem v'lo avdei Achashverosh. Did we go from being avdei Achashverosh to being avdei Hashem and not avdei Achashverosh anymore? No. Akati avdei Achashverosh anam. Right. The story ends. They're still under Achashverosh's rule. There wasn't self. Right. They weren't ruling themselves. Okay. And therefore, they weren't fully avdei Hashem because they still worked for the king. They still had someone else upon them. And therefore, it's not. We don't say halal. So three different answers. Going back to Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman Damar Kriyata Zoi Halela, Hatani, what about this bright time? Mishech Nesu La'aretz, Loch Shuru Kol Aretz Ot Lomar Shira. So what's the answer? Kevan Shegalu Chazru Lehetiran HaRishon. Yes, it's true, when they're in Chutz La'aretz, after they came to the land, there's no Shira, but once there was Galut, and no one was anymore in Eretz Yisrael, then the galut became then they were allowed to again say halal on miracles that happened in Chutz La'aretz, and it just came in a different form. And they have to question, why was it in a different form, right? It could have just been, it was unnecessary. Again, I'm not sure it was because davening would be too long, right? But one could say that maybe. It's just too much. Or maybe, again, it's overdoing it, Right? If you already have the Megillah, which is praising, which then views the Megillah as a type of tefillah, which we don't usually view the Megillah as a type of tefillah. It's interesting. Okay, now we're getting to this abuv of nechoshet, okay, the musical instruments in the Mikdash. So the Gemara first starts off with patach b'chalil u'maseyim b'avuv. First it called it chalil, then it called it an abuv. Why is that? Amar Rav Papa, hainu chalil, hainu abuv. They're actually the same thing. V'amai kari le'chalil, this is generally when we have two words that mean the same thing. One is the real word, the abuv is the real word. What's the chalil? D'chale kale, because its sound is sweet. Tana Rabbanan. Now we're going to talk about different kelim in the Mikdash. We're going to get into all sorts of interesting things that happen. Abuv haya b'mikdash. Now the abuv that was in the Mikdash, chalak haya, it was smooth. Dak haya, it was thin. Shelkaneh haya, it was made of a reed. Umi yamot Moshe haya. We've seen this before, that there were these kelim that were left over from the time of Moshe. The one they had in the Mikdash was from the time of Moshe. Now here comes a historical event that happened. Whether this happened or not, I don't know. But the story tells that Tziva HaMelech, it doesn't say which king. Some people say it was Mumbaz, I think, or Hordus, or one of those kings. And right, those kind of difficult kings that weren't exactly kings, or they weren't exactly, you know, they were problematic for all sorts of reasons. Tziva HaMelech v'tzipau zahav. It sounds like Hordus, right? He wanted to make everything gorgeous and beautiful and huge and everything. What did he do? He covers it with gold. V'lo haya kolo arev. And all of a sudden, the sound coming out didn't sound so nice anymore. They took off the gold coating, and all of a sudden it went back to being the way it was. Kimot shahaya, just like it was before. Why?
Covering a reed with gold and then cleaning it off.
Scraping. Well, you can scrape it off the gold.
It's not necessarily great for the reed.
That could be right. That's true. Okay, right. I don't think this actually happened. The point is obvious. The point is clear, and we'll get to it finally at the very end. Well, they'll give a pasuk that shows this, but you know, obviously, don't try to over-glorify things. You know, which obviously what we have to keep in mind here is this is the Mikdash, and we've had many discussions about how things in the Mikdash were full of gold, were beautiful, were, you know, and the Bigadim of the Kohen Gadol had to be beautiful, you know, and we've talked about it, and here you see the reverse. Right, that with all those issues there, here we're having the balance, which is, well, don't overdo it, and you know, sometimes too much, right? It's like tafasta meruba lo tafasta that we had a few days ago. Tzulzul haya b'mikdash. There was cymbals in the mikdash. Shal nechoshet haya. V'haya kolo arev, and the sound was beautiful. V'nichgam, but then something happened, it got nicked, something went wrong. U'shachu chachamim ve'hiviyu omanim Alexandria shal Mitzrayim. I told you we'd get back to this. They brought the best of the best to fix it. Vitiknuhu, and they fixed it. V'lo hayach kolo arev, but sound wasn't good anymore. Natlu et tikuno v'hayach kolo arev kemot shahaya. So they reverted it back to the way it was before, and the sound came out beautiful as it was from the beginning. Machtesha taita b'mikdash. There was a mortar that they used for grinding the ktoret. Okay, now, shal nechoshet taita. U'miyemot Moshe haita. It's from the time of Moshe. Okay, Rashi says, what is mefatemet et habesamim? They would grind the sammane ketoret. It would make this nice sound when you did it, right? You can imagine, like the noise it made. And they said the sound, interesting, would make it smell better. Okay, and they say, as it says in Kritut, that the shochek would speak as they were doing it. It almost sounds like when people who speak to their plants, you know, they think that helps. He would speak, and the hakol yafel psamim, it says there. Okay, so they had this machtesh that made this nice sound that would make the psamim smell better. Nit pagma got some problem. Hevi wamanimi Alexandria from Shalmitzrayim v'tiknua v'lo haitam v'fatemet kemo shaitan. All of a sudden, it didn't work as well. This is very similar to that sukkah I mentioned that we talked about from Yom and Shkalim, where they tried to bring people from the outside to fix things, and it didn't work very well, right? It doesn't work that way. Natlua tikuna, they redid it, right? They brought it back to its original state. Vaitama patemet kemoshaita. Okay, and now it came out well, the psami. Elu shnei kelim nishtayru mimikdash rishon. Now we're going to go off on a tangent for a minute. The tzilzul, the cymbals, and the machteshet, the mortar, were left over from mikdash rishon. Binitpagmu. And they got damaged. V'lo haya lehem arucha. Remember what that means? They couldn't fix it, I think, or it didn't What is the law? What?
They couldn't be repaired.
Okay? They couldn't be repaired. Valehem Amar David, and David referred to that. How do we know? Where do we see reference to these two Kelim? Okay, so it says, now here it's weird because it's not David, it's actually Shlomo HaMelech when they build the Mikdash. Some people say it shouldn't say David, it should say something else. You know, Alehem Amar Toah or something. So here are the Pesukim. It comes up in Melachim Aleph, and then in Divrei HaYamim, we're in the Makbil Suya. Ve'et HaSirot, ve'et HaYayim, ve'et HaMizrakot, ve'et Kol HaKelim Ha'ele, Asher Asam Chiram, LeMelech Shlomo, Beit Hashem, Nechoshet Mimorat. Okay, it calls them Nechoshet Mimorat. Then it says in Divrei HaYamim, same pasuk. Instead of Mirat, it says Maruk. And then it says in Ezra, Uchfore Zahav Esrim La'adar Chonim, Aleph, Uchle Nechoshet Mutav Tova Shnaim, Chamudot Kezahav. Now there's something weird about this pasuk. It says, Kle Nechoshet Mutav. So first of all, there's reference to these two Nechoshet. One Nechoshet Memorat, one Nechoshet Maruk. So they say that must be referenced to these two Klei Nechoshet that we're talking about, the Tzoltzul and the Machteshet, that were made of Nechoshet. And then it talks about them in this Pasuk in Ezra, about Klei Nechoshet Mutav Shnayim Chamudot, right? When they return to the Beit HaMikdash, they have these same two Kelim. Now there's something weird about this Pasuk, because if you wanted to say there were these two Klei Nechoshet, you would have said, Uklei Nechoshet Shnayim, or Ushnei Klei Nechoshet. But it says, Uklei Nechoshet Mutav Tova Shnayim. So why is the Shnayim farther away? So Rav and Shmuel darshan this in a different way. Chad Amar, Kol Echav Ve'Echal Shakul Kishnayim Shel Zahav. Each one was as if two of Zahav, meaning they were so glorious. V'Chad Amar, Shnehem Shkulim Ke'Echal Shel Zahav. Two weighed the same as one of Zahav, which is still great, but not as great as it sounded. Right? Because copper is, Nechoshet is never as good as Zahav. Tnei Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef brought a braita that supports the second reading. Shnehem shkulim ke'achad shel zahav. Okay, that just supports the second thing we just said. Tanya. Rabbi Natan omer shniyim hayu. They were doubled. There were two of each. That's how he understands. Shnehem ar shnayim al tekri shnayim ela shniyim. Hidarshan shnayim is shniyim. Tnei. Okay, here's a braita. Rashbag. Rashbag brings the braita. Shiluach hayam kaleach mayim b'kisar. Now we're back to, that was like a tangent we got off about the tzilzal and the machteshet. But now we're going to talk about another source that goes with our whole type of all these things. Shiluach hayam kaleach mayim b'kisar. The shiluach would stream out, the opening was the diameter of a coin. It's very small. Tziva HaMelech v'irchivuhu. So they widened it, Kadesh Yitrubu Meimav, so that the water, there'd be more water. V'nit ma'atu, but in fact, less water came out. V'chazru umiyatuhu. So they went back and they closed up the hole to be the size of an isar. V'ayam kalech mayim. And all of a sudden, water was streaming out. L'kayem mashen emar. And here we get our pasuk. Al yitalel chacham b'chochmato. Don't brag about your chochmah. V'al yitalel gibur v'gborato. Don't brag about your glory. Right? And right, what's the end of that pasuk? Val yitalel ashir ba'oshro. Okay, so basically, don't try to be, right, things simpler, simple packages sometimes is better. Okay, don't try to be show-offy, and therefore, this shouldn't be. By the way, you can distinguish here between, you know, in all these cases, they tried to make, you know, they tried to, I don't know, maybe it's really not so different. I'm trying to think about a distinction between this and the Bigdei Kehuna. The Bigdei Kehuna was partly that we wanted the people to look and respect the Kohanim. There's also the issue of the Kelim and the Beit HaMikdash were made of gold, and as you can say, the whole Beit HaMikdash was very glorious. But here, I think, first of all, the issue is the most, maybe also what they're trying to say is the most important thing here is the sound, right? Because every time they fixed it, the sound didn't come out right. And it's all about the sound and not about the look. And maybe here it is about perfection, but its perfection sometimes comes in a different form than you would think. Perfection isn't always perfection of look, it's sometimes perfection of how things sound. Anyway, I'm not sure that they're all about perfection, but okay, food for thought. V'chein amar Rav Shimon ben Gamliel omer, okay, and they also say that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel would say, hardulim, or some people say hardulis, lo haya b'mikdash, they didn't have a hardulis or hardulim in the mikdash. It doesn't help us very much. My hardulim, what is this? Amar Abaye, tavla gordina. Okay, it was a type of, that doesn't really help us so much, a type of instrument. Rashi says, it's zug b'imbal, it's like a type of bell. Okay, with a, right, a zug is the bell, the imbal is the inner part. there's other people who say it's some sort of hydraulic organ, okay, where it kind of was powered by water, some sort of organ that was powered by water. Gordana sounds like hydraulic, you know, it has the sound in it from it. Anyway, what's the reason why they didn't have this? Mipnei, again, it's all about the sound being perfect. Mipnei shekolo arev, it actually has a nice sound, but, and I don't know how this is, but ma'arbev ateni'ima. It messes up the tune, like it kind of gets in the way. Okay, sometimes musical accompaniment messes things up. So even though the sound is pretty, but when you're, I guess, doing everything together, it just doesn't go with everything else. And therefore, they took it, yeah, they made sure this didn't happen. Okay. And Rashi, one second, Rashi actually says, Marbeva Tanima, Kishaya Kol Zeh Misayim. At the end of it, like I guess you can, you know, if you think about it, you can't control, that's what it is. You can't control how it ends, right? In certain instruments, you can control the end of the sound. Here, you can't control the end of the sound, so therefore, it kind of messes things up at the end because it has these echoes. Maybe that's what it means.
I was just wondering whether it was connected to just ending the music with a flute. I didn't know that you were going to say end, but.
Right.
Just, you know.
Right, could be. Okay. That's it for today.